Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, to all of our spiritual mothers, to all of the mothers that are watching online. Happy Mother's Day. We're so thankful for you. In my life, I have four mothers that have been a huge blessing in my life. Number one is my mom, Rosa. I'm so thankful for you. Miranda's mom, Monica, she's not able to be here with us today. I have an adopted mother as well. Jeannie, she's watching online. Love you so much. And the best mother of all, my wife, Miranda. I'm so thankful you're the mother of the children, more children to come. I felt the blessing of being under this amazing woman of God. So today we're going to be studying the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at women of faith. Let me see if this is working. I'm trying to control. Women of faith. Well, if you could help me, Julia, putting that on the screen. We're going to be talking about women of faith. And there's this Jewish proverb that says, let me see if it works. It doesn't, but you could prove it right away. It says, God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. Now, we know this is not true, but I like the heart behind it. God sending mothers to earth as superheroes. And that's how I see each one of you, as superheroes. And this psychologist agrees with me when he says, the young child's hunger for his mother's love and presence is as great as his hunger for food. And children and babies are hungry. I'm telling you, my son left. He can eat and eat and eat. Thank you, Rabbi. Yes, it works. Thank you so much, Rabbi. And I want to say something. Mother's Day is different for each one of us because we're in different stages of life. Some of us, we still have our mothers, Baruch Hashem. Some of us, our mothers are already with the Lord. And some of us, God forbid, lost children. But I want to tell you something that doesn't change. And that's our Lord. He's the best father you could ever have. He's the best mother you could ever have. He's everything you need. So I pray today that God fills your heart in this Mother's Day weekend and fills you with his love. Amen. We're going to be, before we jump into the message, I want to talk about the Torah portion. And I love that this Torah portion connects to the message. The Torah portion for this week, it's Kedoshim. Say with me, Kedoshim. Kedoshim means holy ones. You see, in this part of the parasha, the Lord was instructing Moses and the people of Israel how to live a life of holiness. And I love that the beginning of the parasha on Leviticus 19, verse 1 says, speak to all the congregation of Bnei Israel and tell them, you shall be Kedoshim, you shall be holy. For I, Adonai, your God, am holy. Each one of you is to respect his mother and his father and keep my Shabbatot. I am Adonai, your God. I love how this parasha of Kedoshim of holiness, God starts right away. Hey, if you want to be holy, this is one thing you need to do. It's honor your father and your mother. And this is so important for the Lord that he put it in the Ten Commandments, right? And actually, this is the first commandment with a promise. Let's read it in Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor your father and your mother, just as Adonai your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and it may go well with you in the land Adonai your God is giving you. Thank you, Lord. There's another thing that I love about this parasha, and it's the calling to holiness. Call Adad B'nai Israel, call all the children, send all the children of Israel to be holy. It doesn't say only the priests, doesn't say only the Levites, doesn't say only the men, everybody, the women, the mothers, the children, the youth, everybody, God is calling us to holiness. And this is not something that was only at that time. Listen, the Word of God is alive, amen? And it applies to us today. It doesn't matter what kind of generation we're going through, it applies to us, and God is calling us to holiness. You shall be Kedoshim, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. And if we look into the Hebrew, Actually, there's a future tense. And if we read it in Hebrew, it would say, be holy now, and you shall be holy in the future. In other words, it says God knows that being holy, it's a daily struggle, but there's also a reward. You're going to be holy. Soon the Lord is going to come for us. The Lord's going to come for his bride. And there's this promise in Revelation 19, and it says, let us rejoice and be, we have it on the screen, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and clear, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kedoshim. The Lord is calling us to holiness. I love to point out these two things about the parasha of this week. There's so much we could point out, but honoring our parents and how the Lord sees it of being holy. Amen? Now let's dive into motherhood. Now, I'm not a mother, as you can tell, but I could see firsthand in my life what powerful it is to be next to women of prayer, godly women. And there's this saying that says, when God wants to do a great work, he gets a fall of a man. But when he wants to do an extraordinary, exceptionally work, he gets a fall of a woman. And we can see this in the Word of God. Jochebed, Moses' mom, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt started with one woman of faith, Jochebed. The story of the line of King David started with one woman, Ruth and Naomi. And the deliverance and the preservations of the Jews in Persia started with Esther. And there's so many more in the Word of God, but I'll give you one more. The mother of our Lord Yeshua, a young Jewish woman, God got a hold of Miriam. So we can see that God uses godly mothers in the Word of God. Amen? Now let's jump. We're going to talk about a couple of mothers in the Word of God, and I want to talk about Jochebed. Now you can put the screen on that. My app is still not working, but that's fine. Now you're saying, dude, we just finished Passover. We're going back to it. But we're just going to go back to Egypt just for a little bit. And then we're going to leave Egypt. But I love Jochebed, and I love that her name means the glory of Adonai. Let me show you something interesting about her name. She's the first person in the Bible to have a name with the divine letter Yod. Her name starts with Yod. It's the first person in the Bible. We don't hear much about her. Not many people preach about her. But this is a woman of legacy. How can you see that? Well, let's look at the three children that the Bible says she had. Moses, a great national leader and the person that God used to deliver Israel from Egypt. And then we have Aaron. He was the first high priest and the founder of the Aaronic priesthood. And then we have Miriam, an amazing prophetess, an amazing musician and singer to the Lord. What a great legacy this mother had. Now, you know the story. Pharaoh was being threatened by us, the Jews, the Hebrews, because we were growing so much. And he declared that all the newborn males had to be thrown in the Nile. And it's important to know that the Nile was infested with crocodiles. And I love that there's three times in the Word of God where it says that Moses was a special baby. Let's look at it. In Exodus verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby. Now you're going to say, every mother says that their kid is special, right? But if it's in the Word of God, we have to pay attention. And kept him hidden for 3 months. We can also see it on Acts 7, verse 20. It says, and this time Moses was born extraordinary before God. For 3 months he was nurtured in his father's house. And one more, Hebrews 11:23 says, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months, and when he was born, they saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. Wow. So the mother, Jochebed, knew that her kid had something special, something unusual. There was something spiritual in the baby. She knew God was going to use Moses in a mighty way, so she knew she had to fight for that baby. So what did she do? She built a crib made of papyrus. And now let me tell you something about papyrus, the leaves of papyrus. The Egyptians, in ancient Egyptian history, sorry, it's hard to say that word, Egyptian history, they used to build boats with papyrus. They used to put papyrus on the boats. You know why? They believe it will repel the crocodiles. So that's what Moses' mother did. She created a crib of papyrus to repel the crocodiles. And let's dive in a little bit more about this crib. In Hebrew, the word for this crib is teba. And another meaning of this word teba is ark. And it's the same word for the Ark of Noah. So we have two arks here, which I believe Noah's ark was a little bit bigger than Moses, right? But they have the same significance. It's God's salvation for those he loves. Deliverance from judgment. In Noah's ark, God saved a family from the judgment to humanity. And in Moses' ark, he saved the man that was going to be used by God to deliver Israel. And there is something else they have in common that I love. I hope you're paying attention. The Noah's ark was covered with pitch. You say, okay. Moses' ark was covered in pitch as well. The Hebrew word for pitch is kopher. Say with me, kopher. Kopher was, the pitch was a gluey substance that kept the ark waterproof so it wouldn't sink. Now, there is another place in the Word of God where we can see kopher, and it's in Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make kopher for your lives. For it is the blood that makes kopher because of the life. Let's read it again now in English. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement. Isn't that powerful? For your life. For it's the blood that makes atonement because of the life. That pitch that was on Noah's ark, that pitch that was on Moses' ark, it also means, and you can put on the screen the definition, there is another definition for this word. It means covenant, it means atonement, it means a price of a life, it means a ransom, it means a covering. And let's go to Romans 3:25. It says, God set forth Yeshua as a kopher, as an atonement, through faith in his blood to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. We can clearly see a representation of Yeshua in Noah's ark and in Moses' ark, putting that covering, that atonement. And that's what Yeshua is for us today. He's our covering. He's our peace. He delivers us from judgment. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And now we can have a better understanding of what Matthew 24, verse 36 says. But of that day and hour no one knows, but not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. For just as the days of Noah were, so would be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So shall be it at the coming of the Son of Man. Yes, Yeshua, it's coming to judge the world. But yes, Yeshua, it's also that pitch, that atonement that deliver us from the judgment. Amen. Thank you, Father. We thank you. Jochebed knew the Lord. She knew what God did in the times of Noah. She knew that God was going to show up, and he did. Did you know that Jochebed, Moses' mom, ended up getting paid to take care of her own son? She was getting paid. Look at the story. On Exodus 2, it says, so the mother put Moses on the crib and on the Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the Nile, and she finds the crib. And Moses' sister was following to make sure Miriam was, to make sure everything was okay. And then Pharaoh's daughter finds the crib. And Moses' sister says, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, should I go and call a nurse from the Hebrews to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter told her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse him for me. I'll pay you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. We have such a powerful God. Now, I want to talk about another woman of faith. And that's in my personal life. It's my mother. I already shared how she encountered the Lord. My Jewish mother encountered the Lord. But as soon as she encountered the Lord, her world fell apart. My dad lost his job, and they were in a lot of debt. We were four children, four boys. We were living in a very poor area in Argentina in a tiny apartment. We were sleeping all together of my brothers in the same room. And my dad would go out at night trying to find odd jobs, and he would come every morning just with a bag of flour. That's all we had to eat. And my mom, with that, she would make breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She would make us cakes and bread and pasta. My mom knew she had to be faithful to the Lord. She was a new believer. She knew she had to attend the congregation, as the Word of God says. Of course, we didn't have transportation. My dad was gone, so she had to grab the four of us, walk 15 blocks to the bus stop, ride the bus for an hour, then after that, walk another 10 blocks to reach to the congregation, all by herself, and it was an evening service. As soon as she got to the service, she sat down, and the enemy, of course, came to her and said, is this all worth it? What are you doing? Are you a crazy mother taking your children in the middle of the night? And the Lord showed up right away and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That night, she came back, and by the doorstep of our apartment, there was a big, huge bag full of baby clothes. It was new baby clothes. There was not even a note who left it there. The same happened the following weekend after service. She arrived after the long journey, and there was more clothes for the kids. And then the following Shabbat, it happened again, and it kept going and going. God was pouring his blessing by her doorstep. Soon after, my dad was able to get a job, and they were able to be debt-free, and they were able to move to a nicer area. But my mom never forgot of God's faithfulness in trial. And I'm thankful for you for being such a woman of faith. Thank you, Mom. Now, Abraham Lincoln says, you can put it on the screen, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Amen to that. Let me share you another story. There was this mother that lived with her kids by the ocean. But because of the landscape of their house, they had a big mountain in their backyard. And the kids came to the mother and said, Mom, would it be cool if we can just move the mountain so every day we can wake up and see the ocean every day? And the mother thought this could be a great lesson and said, you know what? Yeshua talks about this. Says, therefore, if I'll tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the kids took to heart what the mother taught them about being people of faith and believing in God. So every night they were praying and praying, Lord, please move the mountain. And the mother saw how passionate the kids were. And she said, Lord, please don't disappoint the children. They have so much faith in you. It kept going and going. A couple of months later, the mother received a letter on the mail, and it says that they're going to build an airplane landing strip behind their house. And for that to happen, the mountain had to be demolished. We have such a powerful God. A couple of months later, the kids were waking up every single day seeing the ocean. Such a powerful God we have. Yeshua's words are true. They are alive. And we have to receive them and believe them in our hearts. Amen? Let's talk about another woman in the Word of God. We talk about Jochebed, and now we're going to talk about Hannah. Hannah was Samuel's mom. Samuel was an incredible man of the Lord. But Hannah, she couldn't have children. There was this certain man called Elkanah. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Let me stop really quick here. And the Mishnah says is a wife cannot give her husband children for 10 years. In that time, the husband was required to remarry so he can fulfill the commandments of be fruitful and multiply. So that's why he remarried with Peninnah, even though he loved Hannah way more. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, pay attention to that, we're going to talk later. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of her life. She cried out to the Lord, and the beautiful thing is that the Lord responded and gave her Samuel, which means God heard. God has heard. You see, Hannah was at her lowest point of her life. She couldn't have children. She had an enemy inside of her house. She could have been bitter with the Lord. She could have been upset with the Lord, bitter with her husband, bitter with everybody. But she instead decided to pour her heart to the Lord, come to the King of Kings. She knew that in her flesh there was nothing she was going to be able to do. But she knew the Lord Almighty. And I love she cried out to Adonai Tzevaot, the one who can do anything for us. She ran to him. She went up to the house of the Lord. And he answered her prayer. There is something else I want to dive about this. In English Bible, we usually have the book of Judges, and then the book of Ruth, and then the book of 1 Samuel, right? But in the Hebrew Bible, it's different. First is the book of Judges, and then the book of 1 Samuel. In other words, it means that Judges was setting up the stage for Samuel. And in the book of Judges, we can see that Israel was at their lowest point. They were a morally corrupt nation. They were away from the Lord. They were very cold spiritually. Even in the last verse of Judges, we can read that says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what it was right in their own eyes. So we can compare here. Israel was at their lowest, and Hannah was at her lowest. But because of the dedication of a woman, this amazing woman of faith, she put God first, and because of her prayer and going to the Lord, God did not only give her a son, but she also provided a person that was going to bring Israel back to the Lord. Samuel was the person that established monarchy in Israel. He anointed Saul as a king, King David as a king, and he also brought God's rule over the nation of Israel, all because of one woman. Instead of focusing on her failures, she decided, no, I'm going to go to Adonai Tzevaot, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father. Now let's dive a little bit more in Judges. Why was the nation of Israel so morally corrupt? Let's look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10. It says, when all that generation were gathered to their fathers, in other words, they passed away, there arose another generation after them that did not experience Adonai or the work that he had done for Israel. In other words, the parents didn't take the responsibility of leaving a legacy of faith to their children. They did not take the charge of the Lord of being remind our children about the great things that the Lord did. In other words, they just decided to do whatever they wanted. And we can see in Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 78 says, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. How tragic it is. The parents just did not decide to keep that legacy of faith, and a whole nation fell apart. I want to talk about one more person in the Word of God, and it's Timothy. You're telling me, okay, Timothy is not a mother. He was a guy. I know he was a guy, but Paul praised him so much. And he was right there with Rabbi Shaul. He helped him write letters. He was an emissary, a messenger, a preacher. He even helped lead congregations. How he ended up being such a man of God. And I doubt that it was his father, because his father was a gentile. He was a Greek. But let's read on 2 Timothy 1:5. And this is Rabbi Shaul talking to Timothy. It says, I recall the genuine faithfulness within you, which first lived in your grandmother Lewis and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure it is within you as well. We can clearly see here a legacy of faith that started all from the grandmother and to the mother. And then Timothy was the great man of God that he was. The main theme of this message, you should know already, is leaving a legacy of faith. We must teach the next generation. We must teach our children. You don't only need to know about God, but you need to experience God. What happened in Judges, they were not experiencing the Lord. Because they may come to my children and tell them, your mom wasn't real. Miranda was fake. She was just a hologram. It was only in your imagination. But they can come to them and say, you're a liar, because I experienced my mom's love. I hug her. I spend time with her. I talk to her. And even worse, they can come to us and to our children and to the next generation and say, God doesn't exist. He's not real. It's just in your imagination. It's all fake. But we and our children and the next generation can say, that's a lie, because I experienced the Lord of hosts. I experienced his love. I seen him move in my life. And I know he's real because I see him every single day in my life. Listen, they can fight against religion. They can fight against theology. They can fight whatever they want against science. But they cannot fight against your relationship and your experience with the Lord. So you may be asking yourself, how can I teach that the next generation if I only know the Lord? I never experience him. This may be you, and it's all of us. We still need more of the Lord. That's why I want to give you an invitation today. Let's pray together. Let's take a moment and pray, Lord, we need you. I just don't want to know you. I want to be able to experience you. The same way that Job said on Job 42, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Lord, we want to leave a legacy of faith. We want to experience your love. We want to experience your goodness. That's why we want to be people of faith, to leave a mark in this world. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers.